mute. That's probably what some people want, mute. Will your vote count? That's the title of the lesson. I've been thinking about this for several weeks and been jotting notes down on different pieces of paper and in my Bible and things. And I've rethought and rewrote. And as of last night, I was still writing things down. How I want to say exactly what I wanted to say this morning to you. But we've just gone through, as some people have said, the most important, or at least one of the most important elections this country has ever seen, and maybe the most important election that we've ever been a part of in this country. Even the candidates have said some of those same things. This is a very, very important election. I don't know who you voted for. If you've talked to me, you know who I voted for, I'm sure. And it's really funny, as I think about elections and voting, and probably you think the same thing sometimes in your life, but I really enjoy just talking to people about why we vote, and why different people vote, and what changes or what challenges people to do the things or vote for the people that they do. What reasons do you have for voting? Why did you vote for the person or people that you voted for? Why did you vote for some of the questions? Yes or no? Why did you choose those things? And man, I've talked to a lot of people who talk about voting, and it's boy, the whole gamut of different ideas and reasonings behind voting. And there are some people who do not want you to know who they voted for. There are people who are very private about that. I don't want you to know anything about who I'm voting for. That's a private thing, and that's why when you go to your polling place, those boards are around you, and you can kind of hide, and you can lean over and mark your arrows of who you want, and you don't want anybody to know that. I don't understand that, because that's not who I am. I'll tell you anything you want to know, why I'm voting and what I'm voting for or anything like that. It doesn't bother me. It may you, and that's okay. I don't understand that, but that's just, like I said, that's me. And I'm listening and talking to people about voting. Why vote? And there are people who voted for Obama because they were won over by his personality. He's a good speaker, isn't he? He's a very articulate man. And he has won a lot of people, millions of people over by his ability to speak. Maybe you voted because of strict loyalty to your party. I know a lot of people in my life who will vote nothing but Democrat. They haven't their entire life, and they'll do that the rest of their life because that's all they've ever done. I know people who vote Republican because that's the only thing they've ever done, and that's the only thing they ever will do. And that's why on those, when you look at the ballots, of course ours are a lot bigger than some places, it says straight line voting, right? You don't even have to read anything. All you can do is just mark one thing and you're finished. Maybe that's a reason. There are some people who voted for different candidates because of things they've heard on television. The media says, well, this guy is about this, or this woman is about these things, and you buy him. You know, that's me. That's what I like. That's who I am. So I'm going to vote for those people. I've heard people actually say, I voted for the lesser of two evils. Neither one of them should be president, or none of those people are really good enough to be a president. But I looked at them and thought, well, this one is a lot less bad than this one. So I'm just going to vote for the lesser of two evils. I think a lot of people this year voted because of this phrase, change. A lot of people want to see change and don't know exactly what we want changed, but maybe you have ideas of things you would want to have changed. And there are a lot of people in this world who want to see change, want to see things differently than are going on right now. And that idea, man, over and over again, it's about change, change, change. And people listen. Maybe that's why you voted for him. I've heard people say, I could never possibly vote for someone who does not allow the principles of God's Word to lead someone, at least in their moral decisions. ethical lifestyle. I could never vote for someone who doesn't listen to God's Word in those things. I've heard other people tell me politics and religion do not go together. We don't need to even try to put those two things together. We shouldn't be voting for someone out of religious beliefs. That's not it. And you know, there are a lot of religious groups around this country, around the world, who have sided with one or the other and say, you couldn't possibly vote for that one because of his standards on these things, on these issues. There are a lot of reasons why we vote. There are a lot of reasons behind it. And I don't know how much time you actually stopped and really thought through, why am I voting for this person? I know a lot of people who have no clue what they're voting on or who they're voting for, other than maybe a parent or someone that they're a significant person in their life has said, well, this is who I'm voting for. Good enough for me. And they'll go and mark that down on a vote. What candidate did you vote for? And I'm not asking for a response. You don't have to stand up. I'm not wanting to poll everybody here. It's not what this lesson is about. It's not even what I'm really thinking about. But you know, this morning, as we're thinking about this important vote, this approval, when I went and sat down to vote, I was marking my approval of who I wanted to be in a leadership position in this country, leading us into the future. But I want to share with you a couple of things this morning, a principle, mainly one specific principle about choosing leaders. How do we go about choosing our leaders? Does God have things to say about that? And so I'm looking at my vote and the person that I voted for, and will it count? Will my vote actually count in this world? Will it be anything? Will it change anything? And sometimes maybe we think no, because how many millions of people voted in this presidential election? I can't even remember. I know it was over 100 million people voted. That's a lot of people. Is one vote really going to matter? Well, I'm going to tell you this morning how your vote will or will not matter. Look with me. Open up your Bible if you have an Old Testament with you. Turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 8. Now, we're coming to the end of the time of the judges. And they have been God's chosen leaders, and they have been leading Israel. And Samuel is the judge, and he is overseeing, and he's judging over the people, and he's giving them what God's verdicts are on things. And he's leading them in a direction that God is wanting him to lead them. And so Samuel has been there, and he's been serving as Israel's leader for quite a few years. And he has stepped down from that role, and he has actually kind of put his sons in place. And in 1 Samuel chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, "And it came about when Samuel was old that he appointed his sons judges over Israel." Verse 3 said, "His sons, however, did not walk in his ways, but turned aside after dishonest gain and took bribes and perverted justice." Now, here's where we are. Samuel is slowly backing out. He's no longer really leading out in front of the people, but his sons are. He appoints them and he says, "You need to take over for my job and do the things that I've been doing." And they're not following in his ways. And the people come in verse 5. And the people say to him, "Behold, you have grown old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king for us to judge us like all the nation." Israel comes to Samuel. The people come to Samuel and say, "We want a king to rule over us. Here's what we want in our life. We want someone that's going to come that we can point to and say, here's our leader. This is the one. This is who we want. Your sons obviously aren't it. They're not leading us in a right way. They're not like you. And you're not the one anymore either. You're getting old and you really don't have the energy, or you don't really have whatever it is. We don't want you either. We want a king. We want to be just like all of the other nations of this world. We want to be like them." Why is it that they're wanting this king? Why do they want a king? First off, he says to judge us. We want this king to set over us and to rule over us, to judge us. Really doesn't matter what kind of life Samuel has lived, what kind of godly life Samuel has lived, and all the godly decisions that he's handed down to them. The people don't want that anymore. They're not wanting Samuel. It could have been, they could have gone to him and said, you know what, Samuel, your sons aren't following in your footsteps. They're not following after God. They don't love justice like you did. They don't love all of the things that God wants. And you need to discipline them. You need to talk to them and you need to straighten them out because they are our leaders. And we need to follow them, but we can't follow them if they're ungodly. You need to straighten them out. They could have very easily asked Samuel to do that, but they didn't. They said, no, we don't want you. We don't want them. We want a king to judge over us. Why would any, this is a question I have in my head, why would anybody who believes in God, a God-fearing individual, why would that person want a king or a government official to judge over them, to make rulings over them, rather than a man of God? Does that make sense? Why in the world would anyone want to go to someone that just works in the government and say, you know, I want you to decide over very important issues in my life. I want you to do that rather than a man of God, someone that believes in God and believes in Him leading us. Why would we want a king rather than Samuel? Why would we want this king rather than a man of God to lead us and to guide us and to make the decisions that are important in our life? Now, there are maybe there are reasons why behind this. Maybe it's because they looked and said, you know what? We don't want an ungodly leader, and your sons are that. I wouldn't want to correct it. We just don't want that. So we want someone... Maybe they're looking and maybe like the election we've just gone through, we're listening to what these men are going to do for us. And we think they're going to set aside rules for us. They're going to have some things, they're going to have some judgments that are going to be beneficial to us. And we listen to those candidates and what they say they're going to do for us. And we think, boy, that sounds really good. And I really like the way where he's saying he's going to lead us, or she says she's going to lead us, and the things that they're going to do for us in this country. And boy, it sounds really good. And that's what we want. And maybe that's some of their experience. You know, these rules are for the people. It's not about God. And maybe they're tired of these archaic rules invented for some deity that really doesn't even care about them, or maybe doesn't even exist. And I look at our country and I think, here's a country that we've heard all our lives was founded on Christian principles and a belief in God's Word. And we start seeing more and more and more the bumper sticker I shared with you recently. You stay out of our schools, we'll stay out of your church. Don't force your God on me. And we look and we see how far we're being led away from God. From one generation to the next, how great are the changes that are happening in this world? And I think here Israel is screaming about, we want a king to rule over us, to judge us, just like all the other nations. You see, I don't really care about whether he's a godly man or not, unless he infringes on some of my rights, then I'm going to pull that card out. But they're saying, we want to be just like the rest of the nations. We want to look like them. We want to have a powerful king. We want to have someone that has a great big palace, and we can look and everyone goes, man, that king is a great warrior. Look at his army. No one wants to mess with them. Maybe we don't believe the same things that they believe in, but they are a great country. There are a lot of people in this world today who look at the United States and don't like this country, but respect it at least for the power and who we are. Some of the things about us. And here are these people. That's what Israel's wanting. They want to be known in the world. They want the rest of the world to know who they are. Not that they're led by God, but that they're a strong and powerful country. They want to be like everyone else. They want to be known. And I look at this request or this demand of Israel, and then Samuel listens to them. And he hears them saying, "We want this king." And Samuel immediately goes to God. Look at verse 6. It says, "But the thing was displeasing in the sight of Samuel when they said, 'Give us a king to judge us.' And Samuel prayed to the Lord." Immediately Samuel goes to God and he says, "Now, God, here's what the request, here's what the people are saying, and I think you need to know about it." Not that God doesn't know, but he's saying, "God, I don't know what to do. As your leader right now, God, you need to help me. I don't know what to do. What should I do? How should I respond?" And God says, "Listen." Verse 7, "Listen to the voice of the people." Now, he's not saying, "Do whatever they ask you to do." But God responds two ways right here. First off, he responds to Samuel. And he says, "Listen to the people, Samuel. Listen to them." And what he's saying is, really pay attention to what they're saying. Because they're not rejecting you, Samuel. They're rejecting me as their king. Don't take this personal. You stay faithful, Samuel. No matter what else happens, no matter what they do or say to you, you stay faithful. That's the most important thing for you. But listen to them. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me from being their king. He says they have a track record. You look back over all the way from the time I led them out of Egypt, and they never wanted me as their king. They were ready to go right back into Egypt and be slaves again when they got out there in the desert and they didn't have anything to eat. And they looked down and they said, saw the army coming. And they said, "Man, why are we out here? You've led us out in this desert to die." Did they ever really believe that God was their king? Were they ever really looking for God to lead them? This is God's people. And they were just led out of a country like Egypt, and so many things God did for them, and yet they continually quit looking at God and looking at themselves and looking at what they could do for themselves. And they said, "These are the kind of leaders that we want that are willing to do this." God says, "Don't take it personal, Samuel. They've always been this way. You be faithful." And the second thing the Lord does is He says, "Samuel, you need to tell the people. You need to give them a message from me." And He said, this message is this. They don't want a king. Tell them about this king that they're wanting. I want you to describe in detail what's going to happen, what this king is going to look like if they actually get what they're asking for. And he says, "This king is going to take all of your possessions away from you. It doesn't matter how great your fields are and how much crops that you grow, this king is going to take those things from you. It doesn't matter how handsome and strong your sons are and how much help they are on the farms and all, because he's going to grab all of your sons and he's going to put them in his service, in his army, to do what he wants done. It doesn't matter what your families look like, because he's going to take your families away from you and he's going to make them his slaves to serve him as well." Now I'm paraphrasing all of this. "He's going to take your daughters. He's going to take all of your tools and he's going to put them to work in his service. Everything that you have, look around you. Tell these people, look around you and realize if you get what you're asking for, this is who you're going to get. This king is not going to make a single decision with your best interest at heart." Is that the kind of king you want? Is that who you really want ruling over you? Is someone who really doesn't care about you or anything about you? Is that who you really want in your life running your country? Is that what you want? Go and tell the people that. And tell them, if you choose to leave God. When things go badly for you, and you cry out and say, look at all the terrible things that's happening to me, God will not be there for you. When you leave Him, you've left Him. He's not going to stand around and just dole out all these free gifts whenever you're ready for Him. You can't treat God any way that you want and to ignore Him and to leave Him and say, I don't want anything to do with you, and then expect to have to put your hand out and say, give me whatever I want. It's not going to happen. If you leave God, He will not be there for you when you call out. And Israel said, we want a king. We don't want God ruling over us. We want a king. We want what we want, and we want it right now. And I look at these things, these ideas, and I wonder how many times we do the same thing in our life, even in this country right now. How many people, we want what we want. We want a leader to lead us because we like how they sound. We like the things that they say. We like that they're focusing on us. We like that they're going to give us certain things and tax breaks and all of these things. And we think that's who we want leading us in this country. Is that who we really want? I think it's interesting. At Samuel's first inclination, what is the first thing he did when the people came to him and said, we want a king? He immediately went to God and started praying. Lord, what do I do? This is what the people are saying. These are the things. This is what they want. What do I do? It was displeasing to him to hear the people saying the things that they were. And then after talking to the Lord and going and talking to the people, immediately Samuel goes right back to God again and begins praying to Him again, because he firmly believed that talking to God, that God was in control. And whatever God said is what He was going to do. Not that he didn't ever make a mistake in his life, but he truly believed with everything that he is, everything that he was, that God was in control. And he wanted to seek God's advice. God, lead us. Use me in any way that you can to bring about true change in this world. Samuel didn't understand why God said, give them what they want. Go and find a king and anoint him. I will lead you. And Samuel said, okay, God, whatever you say. If that's what the people want and that's what you tell me to do, then I'm going to go and I'm going to do that. And he went about finding the king. And I wonder, who do we want running this country? Who do you want leading this country for the rest of your life? What man or woman do you want leading us, making decisions and judging over us? Who do you want leading this country? Will your vote count? I tell you this morning, if you're not spending time talking to God every day about the person you voted for, your vote doesn't count, and it's not going to matter. Your candidate may have won this election, but you better understand right now, God is still in control. What is God working out through the one that's about to become president? I don't know what He's going to do through him. But you know, sometimes God allows things to happen that aren't the best for the people. Just like with Israel. And I'm not saying this is no political commentary on who's going to be our next president. It has nothing to do with that. What it does have to do with is we can make changes in this country. We can make changes with our new incoming president and vice president. We can make changes if God is in control. Well, how much difference would it make if every one of His people, every believer in God, every single day, even if it was just for a minute, stopped and said, we want to ask You, God, to lead this country. We want You to take over control of this country. We want You to lead us, me personally, every step I'm making, I want You to lead me where we need to go. And God, I'm praying that whatever You have to do, that You'll work out Your will in these people's lives that are in Washington and leading this country. I want You to overrule in the people who are teaching our young people in schools. I want You to overrule in every decision that's going on in this world. And we start praying specifically about how God is going to change and rule this world. If God has our vote and we are praying to Him, what will happen? I heard the passage that was read just a few moments ago in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. God said, if My people will return to Me, if they'll call out to Me, I will hear them and I will heal them. Are we going to be a nation? Are we going to be a people who vote that God is in control? It's going to happen by us talking to Him every day and saying, God, I want You in control. I want You in control of me first. But I want to pray that You will be in control of the people that are running this country for us. Will God intercede? He can. And He will. I was thinking just recently, I was talking to our teenagers. And I said, I want you to look very seriously around you right now at your world, at your world, at the people in your life, at your school systems, at all, just everything that makes up this world. And I want you to realize something. This world is given to you, has been given to you by your parents and your grandparents. However you see the world, it's been given to you by us. But more importantly, I ask them, what do you want to give your children and your grandchildren? What kind of world do you want to give them? And you know, there's sometimes we think there's absolutely nothing that we can do. I've heard people say, you know, our world, our country is declining morally every day, more and more, and there's nothing we can do about it. We can't change the fabric of our society. All we can do, hopefully, is slow that decline down. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God can't change things? God can change anything. If we give Him control, and if we ask Him, if we are on our hands and knees and we're praying to Him and saying, God, You take back control. We want You in control of this country, not me. Samuel talked to the people and said, you don't want people without God in control. What do you want? And they said, we want a king. God's Word says the same thing to us today. You don't want godless men and women in control of your lives. The question this morning is, who do you want to rule in your life? Who are you voting for every day? Are you voting that God is in control? Or are we turning it over to man? We have a power to change. God has the power to change us, to shape us, to mold us, to fashion us into the people He wants us to be. Do you believe that? Maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking, man, I really do want God in control of my life. Today, there's no better day than right now to become a child of God, to give Him, make Him the king of your life. You can do that this morning by naming Christ as your Lord and Savior and being immersed into His possession so that we would receive the forgiveness of sins and all the blessings that come from being in Jesus Christ. You can do that this morning. God's Word tells us that. Maybe though you've already become a Christian, maybe you've seized control and you've thought, boy, being a little bit confused and said, here's who I want to rule in this world. You can change that as well. God is ready and willing to take control back if we're willing to ask Him to do it. But we've got to ask. We've got to go to Him. We've got to allow Him to come into our life. One day, with absolute certainty, He is going to come back. And everyone will bow on that day, regardless of what their choice was or will be. God is the ruler of this world. But He wants to be the King in your life. What is your vote going to be? He's calling you and saying, let me rule in your life. Let me make the real change in your life, in your society, in your culture, in all that you are. But the choice is yours. What will your choice be? If you need to respond to Him in any way this morning, in a public way, we'd ask you to do it right now while we stand and we sing.